So, you know, getting back to the when he was making the lid for his bowl, and you know how he just kind of stopped himself from thinking about working when he was resting or meditating. And so, you know, I hear that fierceness in him, but also, you know, like Ajahn Chah to me also is like very allowing too about different mind states. This is what I understand too. So I was just wondering about like how that maybe flowed for him.
Well, I think that was, you know, part of his approach was that we see is through his kind of willingness to question and both in that sense of sort of stopping his mind from going out or really training. But that's a process. I mean, it's easy to describe in a paragraph, but then, you know, how long did he work with that? You know, years probably. And so that's an accumulation. And then also him, that sense of not taking it so seriously you have to be perfect. So that he give himself a lot of space, when something was intractable, but he'd also challenge himself. So it was, you know, there's a back and forth there that relies on patience, and that was a huge part of his teaching. So often we would go to him and ask for advice and how to deal with certain situations, and hoping to get, you know, the one teaching with the magic bullet that would just do it. And they just, you know, tell you to be patient, and you know, just be willing to be with it, to be present, to learn from it, investigate it, understand it, so that it open up space around it. It would not, in the sense that he's condoning, but it's also, okay, give it some space and learn from it. What's it trying to tell you? What are you trying to get from it? Is it actually what it's saying about itself? So those are ways that he would oftentimes do that, and that sense of being willing to question, investigate, and then to also have a bit of because he also had a good sense of humor, and if you can't laugh at yourself as a practitioner, then you're sunk. because it's what our minds do to us is absurd, you know. we need a bit of space around this, and just to be able to allow that and work with it. And I remember one time being with him and being his attendant. We were at a small branch monastery, and he's already having difficulty with his balance. He had a brain disorder, and one of the things that it manifested early on was balance was difficult. So it was a place where the road was a little bit rough, so he didn't feel confident going on alms round. So that he stayed back, and then we brought food. And it was quite a small village, so that we'd bring back rice from the alms bowl, and we'd gather it together. And normally, what we do is take what is just needed for ourselves, and everything goes into sort of communal pile or pot. And then, so I brought that up for Ajahn Chah to so that he would make a ball of rice for himself. Sticky rice, glutinous rice, and sticky rice, that's the staple in the northeast of Thailand. So, and he'd make a ball of rice. And normally he would say, like, you know, you shouldn't really be having more than this, if you, whatever your hand is. And that's a lot from anybody's standards. If you grow up in the northeast of Thailand and you work hard and whatnot, that's pretty ordinary. But anyway, he's making this ball of rice, and it sort of starts off, and just keeps adding on, and keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's about this big, and he sort of lifts it up and down. He said, when I was younger, I used to be able to pack it. I'm getting old now. And so I was kind of, okay, yeah, it's not a big deal.